Do you think people will default?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're already planning about it. The amount of people that are going to default, and people not even just by accident, by not being able to pay it, but there's people that are going to be defaulting on purpose because, you know, they felt that this is something that should have gone through, and they see how it's become more of a political issue than, say, an actual attempt to help.
Hi everyone, this is Mind Bloom You, and I'm your host, Marina G. I also have a co-host with me this season, but I will tell you a little bit more about that. But first off, this is Mind Bloom You, a platform on personal finance for survivors of life-changing events. So if you've been through a prolonged illness, a divorce, the loss of a loved one, or job loss perhaps, come and sit down, grab a cup of tea, and enjoy this conversation. We will be dedicating this season of 12 episodes to debt. And today we'll be talking about student loan debt, so stay tuned. Before we get ahead and talk about student loan debt, I wanted to introduce you to my co-host for these 12 episodes, Mr. James Wolfe, who has a ton of letters after his name, well, numbers as well, and letters after his name. And I want you, James, to tell us all about those letters and what you do and all of that. I'm very excited to have you.
Hello, everyone. So, yes, Dr. Marina G. I do not have a PhD after my name, but I do have a bunch of other letters that maybe with all the certifications, if I stacked them together, it would almost be to that level. I don't know. So James Wolfe II, there's the number. I have a master's in industrial organizational psychology from Hofstra University. I've got my Society of Human Resources Management Certified Professional, the SHRM CP. I also have my Associate Professional in Talent Development from ATD. And then, all these other great things that are going to be coming out. I'm a certified professional resume writer. Both Marina and I are going to be certified in VR training, extended reality VR training. So lots of nice little extra walks of life I've been in.
Yeah, we met a couple of months ago.
We know each other. He's a friend from work.
As we started the certification in XR. XR is just a fancy acronym for extended reality. So anything that has to do with a VR headset or with VR, and we have our snazzy VR headsets and AR, augmented reality, or mixed realities. We are becoming, yes, next week, Tuesday, we'll become officially certified as instructors. So employers out there, we're here available and willing to help out. Enhancing training really for employees across the board on, you know, utilizing these new technologies. And I think this is really where society is heading next with all this talk of AI and everything. So AI, VR is really the future. And I think we both have this in common. We wanna see what's around the corner. We wanna be there when everything happens.
Try to catch the new innovations that are coming out, and instead of reacting to it, be proactive, right? So, and you know what's awesome is actually we kind of led into what we're going to talk about in a later episode, but we both invested in ourselves, right? To getting a little bit of debt, maybe more for me to try and get this extra sort of training. Right. And so hopefully the goal in the end, to be more financially secure and be able to take tons of vacations and not be drowning in debt, but traveling underwater on vacation.
And if you're listening as a podcast, you can't see, but James's background is an aquarium with little Nemo in the background there. So he is drowning in debt. I guess that's the metaphor.
Student debt.
Yeah, student debt of all the debt. And that's exactly where we'll begin. So exactly. So we are lifelong students, I guess. We do have these acronyms after our names, and I, for one, am very proud of mine. I mean, it was almost a 10-year endeavor to, you know, to get a doctorate and degree, and it's something
it's
I'm very...
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it granted me, at the end of the day, the status of being a permanent resident in the United States. It was based on my PhD that I was able to self-petition to become an immigrant, a permanent resident in the U.S. So we do invest a lot in education, and so that's why we wanted to start with education and the cost of education, which is ridiculous in this country, and how and why it gets us 99% of the time in debt. We also wanted to talk about how the Supreme Court struck down student loan relief, and James is highly prepared to tell us more about that and how that really will impact your life of you listening or watching on YouTube, and what we can do together, what strategies we can utilize to really maybe overcome and get ready, because September 1st is coming, and your monthly payments are due then.
There's a lot of subjective, you know, points of view on what's going on with the debt relief attempts. And I think when, you know, you mentioned something about like how it got to this point, maybe though, you start to lead into it. It's kind of crazy, right? Because you always see the stats of like back in the 70s, how much it used to cost to be able to, you know, take a class for a semester, and people were in a totally different place to be able to pay for it. Well, you know, my personal belief would be that some of the great things about our country then took over, with it being like a capitalist democratic society that allows people to go out and make money and try to, you know, pick themselves up. So some of the companies though that decided to do that, and the administrations are coming down on them, are those student loan servicers that provided loans at these extreme rates. And as everything else went up, they kept going up. And then, you know, now it costs more, and then school, it all works together. And what we ended up with was a completely different situation than anything before the 21st century. Like, you can't really compare that. So what's going on now is something that does need to be addressed. And with like the Supreme Court deciding to strike it down, that could also be looked at as a potentially politically motivated decision more than a beneficial like law interpretation of what the executive branch was allowed to do to help the majority of people with student debt, because it's huge. It's a large amount of debt, and you need a government to step in when companies are being found to do illegal things, taking advantage of borrowers and then not giving them even the student loan forgiveness that they were supposed to. Several companies have been called out on that, and there's repayments going on even now. One of them, after the Supreme Court ruling that Biden and the executive branch decided to do, would wind up getting a large amount of borrowers' debts wiped out, because they should have already had it happen, but it wasn't being taken care of with the previous administration and their companies that were servicing their loans. So there's still ways it's being worked on, but you know, you need the government to be able to step in. And the Supreme Court said, no, that government, that president in particular, that party's nominated person didn't have the right to do it, which is unfortunate.
Right. So it's always a political thing. It's always a bipartisan thing. It's worth mentioning that the SCOTUS striking down student loan debt, it is only, or debt relief, is only the federal student loans, isn't it? It's not.
Correct, yeah. Right? So, it wasn't just federal student loans. What it was like a broad range that the executive branch had enacted, right, to support people with that $10,000 relief. And that would have been anyone with the debt, but then it would have been like an extra $10,000 for people that had the Pell Grant. Yeah, so $10,000 absolutely across the board. And then that extra $10,000, which I wouldn't have been able to get, because I wasn't able to get like the extra loan consideration, but there would have been, you know, more people still able to get another $10,000 too. It was only supposed to be $10,000, you know, for most people, $20,000 for others, but.
So we're not even talking, so there's doctors, there's lawyers out there who have 400,000 in student loan debt. So we're talking about 10K. So it wouldn't also make that huge of a difference, would it?
And actually, so it was only supposed to be for if people were over a certain amount anyway. So if your income was more than $125,000 or $250,000 for a household, you wouldn't have gotten it.
Okay.
Which kind of, you know, I thought made sense. And I thought everybody, you know, agreed on, for the most part, the equal taxing, right, to try to help out the country. So the $20,000, the extra $10,000 would have gone for people that were Pell Grant recipients. And it would have been $10,000 for non-Pell Grant. $20,000 for the Pell Grant total.
Because I'm under the impression that people were talking about total relief and total loan forgiveness. We're not talking about total loan forgiveness. Maybe people still have 40K and okay, now they'll be down to 30, which is not going to happen, but they would still have student loan debt to pay off. So now not only, well, inflation has gone down a little bit, but not only people may have like car loans, personal loans, credit card debt, now they have to start, if they stopped, now they have to resume payments on their student loan debt as well. And families, American families, are just like to the brim with monthly payments.
Yeah, the amount that was supposed to be relieved for each person may not sound like a lot to many listeners, people out there that have already paid off their loans, but you start to get into this sort of effect of not seeing what's going on with everyone else. I think if you're out of college, you've graduated, or you've never even gone to college, you don't understand exactly how that affects you. But then say you're out and you've paid off all of your loans 10, 20 years ago, you're even possibly close to retirement. You're saying like, oh, I already paid mine. Why do I need to now pay for somebody else? And that's not the case, by the way, but you're not considering, right, the difference and the amount of costs from when you were in, and then even remembering that if you had any struggles, how nice would it have been to get a comparable sort of assistance from the government? And there's a little bit of a diversity inclusion part of this too, in equity, where the people usually taking out loans are people that usually don't have the sort of financial safety, whether it's generational or not, to be able to make it to college. And by investing in our people long term, you will have more growth. You'll have people that have better mental health because of the loan going off. Maybe now they're not having to potentially worry about any sort of Medicaid or Medicare because the stress isn't there as much, right? Like less appointments. There's other ways that a little bit of student loan help will assist Americans, and but the, you know, the hyper focus on $10,000 and not everyone should have to pay that is wrong. There's a lot of ways it could be used. That specific excuse could be used in a lot of other areas as well.
Do you think people will default?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They're already planning about it. Saying like the amount of people that are going to default, and people not even just by accident, by not being able to pay it, but there's people that are going to be defaulting on purpose because, you know, they felt that this is something that should have gone through, and they see how it's become more of a political issue than, say, an actual attempt to help. It's being used as a tool for arguments, right? So there are people that are going to default just on purpose, and that'll hurt. You really shouldn't do that. You can't bank on something in the future suddenly going back and improving your credit score. You can't bank on the government not coming for garnishing your check to get the loans back, right? So it's unfortunate, though, because people are frustrated.
You can't even file for bankruptcy because the student loans will come with you.
Yeah, and there was another thing that was taken out. So companies, though, can file for bankruptcy. and say a person's investments are just gone.
Gotcha.
There are cases where you have like class action lawsuits where a company, I see it all the time with stocks where they defrauded investors. And then they do a class action, you get a tiny bit of your money back.
Okay.
That same protection isn't extended to people that have even less financial safety. You know, you say, oh, well, did you need to go to school? You shouldn't take out the loans. Why are we protecting people that made investments when we could say the same thing?
Yeah.
You shouldn't have invested in them, or you shouldn't have done, you should have done more due diligence. You know, and are those people out on the street? Because people with student loans, when they have to start repaying, if they do, that can cut into, are you able to get a new house? Are you able to pay for all of the necessities? What's getting cut out this month? Is it the cell phone bill? Is it the food? Is it potentially power? Is it being able to pay for a field trip for a kid? What is it, right? Are you gonna have to cut the vacation out and take a staycation?
Oh yeah, I know all about staycations. yeah, the problem is that we're not educated to think that the college degree or the grad school degree is the end of the line. It actually is the beginning. There needs to be a pipeline that will then place these newly graduates in the workplace, in the workforce. And that's also not working as effectively, I think, as it should. There's some internship programs and all of that good stuff. But again, I feel like it still prioritizes the more privileged ones. They'll go, recruiters and companies will go to the Ivy League schools and look for these students to become their interns.
Another thing that comes up in organizations lately, and this is a quick, like just a little sidebar to the student debt, but and it will bring it right back. But I think it's correlated in that, you know, so a complaint amongst people that hold the job for a long time or for organizations with hiring is that people are hopping around jobs too much. It's often because of salary increases that you can get from just going to another company because they realize they need to get the help. So they'll offer $125,000 salary for something that was $100,000. And that person, if they'd stayed at the company, maybe next year now they would have been making $105,000, or they could leave and immediately start making $125,000. And you have people that complain that that's an issue. Well, that person might be trying to pay off student loans a little bit faster.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always the fact that it's like a bad company, a bad boss, or it's a learning opportunity. Some people really do have to concentrate on the financial aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. And their future. Yeah, absolutely. So employers, don't take it personally if your employees are leaving. I mean, yeah, it's...
What are you doing to try to help them with the student loans? There's a lot of different programs that could help with that as well. During the pandemic, the government had extended a program to match student loan payments. And out of all the companies that I've spoken to in the last couple of years, nobody was doing it.
Mm.
You can look it up online and see who is actually trying to help out in those ways, but not enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, please inquire if you're listening, if you're watching this, please inquire within if you had student debt loan. Your company may be able to help matching your monthly payments or providing some sort of aid, financial aid. So James, what should people be doing if they stopped paying, their first payment is coming, is it September, October 1st?
October, yeah.
October 1st, what should people start doing? Praying, finger crossing, hoping for the best?
Yeah, you've already gotta be planning on it. It's unfortunately trying to keep any sort of financial safety net. You know, if the car breaks down, are you going to be able to replace that carburetor or whatever it is to be able to get to work, to continue making your payments? I, of course, suggest trying to pay down a student loan as much as possible because I'm in that boat, but I know other people, and I don't have, like, say, some of the other requirements that a family might have for like financial necessities going somewhere else. So like I try to pay down the student loan as much as I can to cut down on that interest that is eventually going to be hitting again.
Do you pay extra?
I do.
You pay extra.
And oh, and that was another thing that companies got in trouble for too, is not all of them were putting those extra payments to reduce the total amount that you were paying on. They were applying it to just the interest or like the next month's payment, and it wouldn't actually come out of the principal.
Yep, that's illegal. So I have some stats here. I was looking them up today. So the total student loan debt in America as of March of 2023 is $1.78 trillion. And that may seem like such an abstract number, but I'm going to give you another one. The average student loan debt in America is $37,717 per person.
And I believe most of that is for people that do go for... postgraduate degrees, master's, your PhD. But it's still so significant, you know, for everyone.
37,000 is scary. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I have some numbers on racial disparities. I mean, this conversation, in any conversation about debt, cannot happen without mentioning gender and racial inequalities. So Black borrowers have the highest average student loan debt at $52,000. Conversely, on the opposite end, white borrowers sit at $33,000. In terms of gender, obviously, again, female borrowers end up losing. Their average is at $39,000, whereas male borrowers at $36,000. Dollars. I'm actually reading something here that says the Education Department is instituting a year-long on-ramp to repayment program that will last through September 30th of next year. The program allows financially vulnerable borrowers who miss monthly payments, so who are delinquent during this period, to not be considered delinquent, reported to the credit bureaus, placed in default, or referred to debt collection agencies. Go online on your studentaid.gov website, see how much you owe. You may be eligible for an income-driven repayment plan. So look into all of those aids out there.
And it goes till next year. I actually was offered that too.
Oh.
My student loan servicer switched during the pandemic.
Oh.
I believe the one that I was with started to feel the stress of the government all of a sudden having more oversight into their operations, and it switched. So my new one, someone reached out to me and they had asked if I wanted to give the new numbers, and then they said, hey, you're eligible for it. You can make payments if you want, absolutely over it.
Mm.
But during the pandemic, I was eligible to have it at zero up until next year.
So does the length of the term extend though? Because you're not making payments, or you're paying the amount, the principal is still going to be the same, right? So you're just going to
It's still going to be the same, yeah. But it's just when I go back and, you know, adjust my numbers with them again, they're going to say, oh, okay, awesome. So now you're making more. Here's your new payment. Sorry, your interest started back up in September. You were required to start making payments, even though we said it was zero in October. Now that it's come around to like May of 2024, for instance. Okay, so we need to get you paying again. You still owe this amount, even more. How much are you going to have to pay to be able to make it even? Hmm. The years stay the same.
And yours are federal?
Federal, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like the IRS. You just don't mess up with it, because they're going to come after you no matter what. Even like I said, even if you file for bankruptcy, it's the only thing. It's just like that and death. It just can't get rid of it. If you guys want to reach out, you have any questions, please let us know in the comments. You can also contact us. The email is info@mindbloomu.com. Reach out on any social media platforms at MindBloomU. And soon enough, and that's where I want to end today's episode, but soon enough you'll be able to reach out to James, who's going to be starting his new business in within hours, within a week or two. So we're not going to give away a lot of details, but soon enough we'll be able to share his new email, the name of his company, and I'm going to tell you that the company is all about career navigation and how to, you know, improve your career and hence your personal finances and how to navigate all of these troubled times, inflation, how to combat that, but through work, through your career, I guess would be the gist of it. So James, I wanted to finish with a question, I guess I'm gonna prompt every week, which is, what do you look forward to this upcoming week? We record on Saturday, so looking ahead into the week, what are you looking forward to? Or in other words, more cheesy, what makes your mind bloom this coming week?
So the little business that I'm going to start, I feel really confident in. I think that a lot of the work I've done for like professional development, personal development over the years, I have found a good way to leverage that into not only improving my financial situation, but my mental health.
Exactly.
Because I will be able to have control over my own work schedule. I'll be able to have control over clients I would take on, the type of work I do for them that I know based off personal experiences should be able to help. And then I can also get to a more build a stronger relationship with people to be able to help them. All those little letters I put after my name at the beginning of the episode, you know, those will all play a part. People have diverse experiences that come together to help future roles. And I think I've got that, and it's about to all come to fruition. I look forward to putting that together this week. And then next week we're talking about debt and mental health. So I will, I'll be ready to start my mental health journey improvement this week.
Amazing. So what makes...
Want to hear something funny?
Yes.
I was at a job and I was coaching an employee, and he started to ask, because he had a long-term relationship too, and I was giving him strategies on dealing with customers and how to de-escalate them. And then he was like, oh man, like this is great. I can use this in my relationship. And I was like, yeah, you know, she might start to figure it out though. And if you're just doing it on your own, I don't know how that's going to work. Mm. He's like, well, would you do it for me? It's like, listen, I am a work psychologist. I'm not even a psychologist. I'm an IO practitioner. I don't have a PhD. I was like, that is not what I am here for. If you want to get mental health assistance, there are professionals that help with that.
That's amazing. And I look forward to what'll make my mind bloom this week is, I guess for both of us, we're getting our certification on Tuesday in VR. That's awesome. We're going to be instructors. Yeah. We're going to add more letters to our names, which is amazing. We're going to be ICXR. How cool is that? And I have my headset right here. The other thing I'm really looking forward to is I'm going to hit...
Did you personalize your headset?
Yes.
You put all these stickers and stuff on it. That looks so awesome.
Yeah.
You could even get a sponsorship on your headset, maybe.
I know.
You know, like race cars do on a track?
Hey, sponsors, sponsors. I'm right here. What I'm really, really looking forward to, and that's what I'm going to do after this, is accrue more points, because I'll be hitting 100K, and it doesn't mean anything unless you're a supernatural player, athlete, but I'm going to hit this week, if everything goes according to plan, I'll be hitting 100,000 points in Supernatural, which, just look it up, you guys, it's a VR fitness platform that I'm trying to bring James into, but he just won't do it. But in any case, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Full amount of time.
Everything VR for me.
And unfortunately for that Supernatural VR headset, Jensen Ackles and Jared Padalecki, the Winchester brothers, are not in it. If you type in Supernatural and get the TV show, it is not that.
Oh, it is not that. It's a fitness app. It's a fitness app.
That would be pretty awesome to have them like motivating you though, and call it Supernatural, running from ghosts or something to get you exercised.
Yes, yes. No, it's not about ghosts. Absolutely not. No, in fact, when I Google supernatural, I do come across a bunch of ghost stories, but it's not that. It's a fitness app where you can do boxing and meditating and something they call Flow, but it's like a Beat Saber kind of activity. Loads and
maybe
loads
we could do
fun.
A student loan debt exercise app where you're constantly running from payments.
Yeah, like zombies.
You look behind you and there's a big dollar sign, or it's like Uncle Sam coming
creditors.
For the payment.
Creditors.
Yeah. A phone comes out of nowhere ringing, or it is illegal to call for these sort of payments. You can't do that. You have to run to someone to help.
Can you imagine? But it's a good mindset to think that you're not running, you're proactively getting somewhere else.
Boxing.
Boxing feels so good.
Body
feels
blow.
So good.
Feels payment so on time. Good.
Kickboxing. Yeah.
Yeah. Kick to the head.
Kick to
extra the... amount this month.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. So stick with us, guys. We're gonna show you all about what you can do about student debt, consumer debt, I don't even know, how mental health and debt, all the good things. We'll see you next.
Not all doom and gloom.
Not all doom and gloom, not at all. So we'll see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.